Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending upon where you are in the world. This is Tom Capone, Executive Director of the NYDLA, and we have another session of Coffee in the Clouds. Today we have Mike Figliolo. Mike is the founder and managing director of Thought Leaders, a professional training firm focused on leadership development. Mike graduated from the United States Military Academy at West Point, where he was an honor graduate and a distinguished cadet. Upon graduation, he was commissioned as an officer of the United States Army. Mike spent 5 years as an armor officer in a variety of roles, including platoon leader, executive officer, personnel officer, and ROTC instructor at Duke University. After leaving the Army, Mike joined McKinsey & Company as a management consultant before he started Thought Leaders. One of his many books, One Piece of Paper, The Simple Approach to Powerful Personal Leadership, is designed to help leaders define who they are and what their personal leadership philosophy is. Mike, welcome to Coffee in the Clouds.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So, Mike, tell our community, what kind of work does your firm do, and who is it that you're trying to serve?
We do mostly classroom instruction on topics of leadership, communications, problem solving, decision making. I like to say we teach people the things they need to know that nobody ever teaches them. And these are all the great professional skills that are going to help them advance their career. Most of the work we do is with large corporates, companies like Google, Discover, Abbott Labs, but we also work with small and mid-sized companies too.
Got it. So what makes a good learning and development event?
For me, it's a few things. First is understanding what the actual skill gap is for people. We get phone calls all the time and folks say, hey, I want to take this class. And the first thing I say is, well, hold on a second. What's the gap that you're trying to fill? What is the performance need that you're seeing in your people? So being able to clearly identify and articulate what that need is comes first and foremost. Second is making sure that you've got the right classroom environment. And I've seen classes that are too big. I've seen ones that are too small. So having 15 to 35 participants tends to be right for classroom stuff. Also for bigger events like keynotes, you're looking at anywhere from 100 to 300 or 400 people. Because beyond that, it can get a little bit unwieldy. And then the last thing that we look at is, who's the instructor and how are they delivering this content? And for me, that's paramount. And I'm a big fan of having people who do the stuff teach the stuff. And, you know, there are career facilitators out there. There are academicians. And they're great, and they have awesome perspectives. But there's something special about having somebody teach you when they've actually lived through it themselves. They can understand what your problems are. They understand how the tools and frameworks can be related to the day-to-day. That's what really separates a great learning event for me.
So I'm on your website, and I see the portfolio and the pretty impressive network of instructors that you have. So what is it that you look for? You know, give me the top criteria that would allow someone to fit into the thought leaders network?
Yeah, so I'm looking for those seasoned business veterans, those seasoned executives who have lived through all of these things. That's first and foremost. And I do get solicitations from folks who have been career facilitators or academicians, and I politely decline. I just say, look, it's not a fit with our training model, with our teaching model. So that's first and foremost. And I'm getting folks who have been management consultants but then worked in the real world where they've had P&L responsibility, they've run budgets, they've run large organizations, they've run strategy groups. I have several folks who run their own businesses and they're entrepreneurs and they're coaches. They also know what it takes to run a business. So those are the first things I'm looking for. And then beyond that, it's the presence on the platform. Is this a person who has the energy to run a class for 8 hours a day? Is this a person who has the ability to captivate an audience of 200, 300, 400 people and deliver a message clearly and compellingly and tie it to real-world examples? I want them telling stories about hey, here's a framework. Let me tell you about a time that I used this framework or I didn't use the framework and I should have used it, and being able to connect that learning to the real world.
I see. Well, you've got a very eclectic background yourself. I can see how you're the right guy for the job. So as the question comes up for, you know, blended learning, you know, with all your experience starting with West Point, et cetera, how have you seen blended learning evolve over the years?
It's been really cool seeing the way technology has become a huge enabler of a blended learning environment. Being able to deliver content via video and do webinars, those are great, and they're awesome complements to some types of learning. They're great substitutes for other types of learning. For the skill that we're teaching, it's been a neat evolution because it does end up being truly blended learning. The concepts we're teaching can be reasonably complex to apply. We try to make the framework simple, but applying them is kind of tough. And you need that classroom environment with the hands-on of an instructor there who can talk through your situation and help you apply the tools. Where we bring in the blended piece is we've been doing some work with online video through lynda.com, which has been acquired by LinkedIn, which has now been acquired by Microsoft. And on Lynda, we can put our courses out there in 1 to 2 minute, all the way up to 7 or 8 minute videos, and turn a course of, you know, 6, 7, 10 videos. And what that ends up being is a really great complement to the stuff we teach in the classroom, because then people can go back, they can watch the videos, they can refresh on the concepts after they've been through the program. We've got some situations where we have them watch the movies before the program, so they got some grounding before they walk in the door. We can then complement with webinars after the fact, or conference calls to see where people are, and then also our books. So I like to write, my instructors like to write, and the books are almost always complementary to what we're teaching in the classroom. So when you look at all those different delivery vehicles, you got the classroom, you got books, you got videos, you got webinars, and it all comes together to reinforce all these concepts. So I've been really excited by a lot of the blended opportunities that are out there. I think it's short-sighted for some trainers to say things like, oh, well, I would never put my course on video because it's going to cannibalize what I do. And I think that's just foolish. First of all, the market is moving that way. Second of all, it's a great tool for business development. And third of all, it makes your concepts stick with people in the classroom, and that's what we're getting paid for.
Right. Well, we're in the world of technology-based learning, that's for sure. So what do you think about in-person training? Do you think in-person training will ever be fully replaced?
For some things, I think it will. When you look at really basic skills like how to use a spreadsheet, That's a technical skill that can be broken down by steps. You can hit feature functionality and the buttons and explain what the button does and put that all in a nice, neat video and make it modular, and you don't need to be in a classroom to do that. When I look at a topic like strategic planning or executive decision making or problem solving, I can give you a basic education on what those tools look like. But getting you to effectively learn them via video or via webinar, it just doesn't happen. And you need that personal experience of standing there with somebody experienced with these tools, walking you through it in the classroom, applying it live to examples that you're working on. And that's where that whole blended piece comes, is understanding which of these tools can be delivered via video or webinar, and which ones do you absolutely have to be there in person. So I think for some skills, it ends up being replaced. For the stuff that we do, I really struggle with the notion of it ever replacing the in-person aspect of what we do.
So tell us a little bit more about your books. What can leaders get out of them?
Yeah, so I've written 3. I'm actually editing the 3rd one right now, and it comes out in August. As you mentioned, the first one is One Piece of Paper, The Simple Approach to Powerful Personal Leadership. And that's all about how do you articulate who you are as a leader in a clear and compelling way. A lot of times people say, oh, I want you to be authentic, Tom. I want you to be an authentic leader. And then I turn around and prescribe exactly how I want you to behave. Well, that's the antithesis of being authentic. I want you to be yourself. So what the book does is it helps leaders explore who they really are. It looks back at their experiences and their values and helps them craft it into a story they can explain to their teams and then essentially live by as a day-to-day code of conduct. So that's what the first one does. The second book that came out last year is called Lead Inside the Box, How Smart Leaders Guide Their Teams to Exceptional Results. And the one thing we never have enough of is time. And as a leader, that's the biggest investment you're going to make in your people. So you really need to be judicious about where you're spending your time and energy. And what the book looks at is different people have different needs. Different team members have different needs in terms of how you invest in them. Tom, you may need 45 minutes of my time every week, and Joe may need 3 hours and 45 minutes of my time. And I'm doing you both a disservice if I say, well, I'm going to give you each 2 hours, because after 45 minutes with you, you're ready to go nuts and say, like, let me go, Mike. I'm done. I got all I need from you, and now you're wasting my time. And then there's poor Joe. I give him 2 hours, and he's like, I need another couple of hours, boss. I still need help with this. So what the book does is helps you assess the performance of your people and start being more mindful and deliberate around the way you invest your time and energy in them. And then the third book, which I'm working on right now, is called The Elegant Pitch. And it's all about how do you craft a clear and compelling recommendation that gets approved on the first time you take it to your stakeholder, to your steering committee. And it's based on our Structured Thought and Communications course. It's a really effective method for making a case, whether it's a business case or you're recommending a big change in the company, laying out what that change is and being able to explain the rationale. I think they're all fundamental leadership concepts that people have to have, and it's been really exciting seeing the reactions that we get when people read them.
Now, you've had the benefit of the West Point experience from the 90s and, you know, McKinsey, et cetera. What mistakes do you see organizations making with respect to investing in training?
Yeah, so this one always makes me scratch my head when we're talking with folks and getting ready to line up a training program, and then we get the phone call that says, oh, well, hey, we just went through our budgeting process, and we're going to put this off for another year. Now, I understand and appreciate prioritization and budgets, and I respect that. But what I struggle with is you stop and think about it, and you say, you've got a handful of people, let's say you got 25 people who you're looking to train, and they've got a really big skill gap, so they're not performing where you need them to be. And you say, well, because of some figment of what finance created, i.e. a budget, you know what, we're going to be fine with that skill gap for another year because we don't spend a few thousand dollars right now to fix a giant problem that we've got. I don't get that. I don't, you know, if you had your car and you're driving down the road and you got a flat tire and, you know, it's clearly a need, you go get it fixed. You don't say, well, you know what, that's not in the budget right now. I'm going to just sort of put it off for another year, right? It's that waiting that I just really struggle with. So that's one of the big mistakes I see organizations make is really making this trade-off for some arbitrary number that's in some budget somewhere and letting it affect their overall performance. I think the second big mistake that I see a lot of organizations make is really not being mindful about how they're going to reinforce the behaviors that they're asking their people to learn in the classroom. And the way that really manifests is you've got these leaders who say, oh, well, the people on my team are really, really bad at this, so they got to go through the program, but I really don't need to go. I don't need to attend. And it's like, well, you should probably understand what we're teaching your people and what you can expect from them in terms of performance. You should know the terminology. So even if you attend for a little while, for a couple hours, if it's a full-day training, just sit in on it and learn what it's about, learn what the method is, because you need to coach them to demonstrate new behaviors. Just saying, well, I totally get it and I don't need it, a lot of times that's a mistake because people will just revert to old behaviors because you're not asking them to change.
Got it. Makes sense. Makes sense. So here's my last question for you. Okay, what do you think differentiates the high-performance organizations that you've worked with? What would you say is the thing that you can identify that makes them stand out from the others?
Yeah, so when I look back on the history of my firm, I've been doing this for almost 13 years now, and I really launched the business back in 2008, which is pretty much the worst time you could ever launch a business when you look at the financial downturn. And I've been doing it for a few years, but really went full-time with it at that time. And after a while, people started asking me, they're like, hey, man, how's business going? You know, the recession, and, you know, I imagine you're struggling. And I'd look at them and say, what recession? We're doing great. And they couldn't figure it out. And I said, take a look at our client page on our website. Look at the clients we serve, folks like Abbott Labs, Discover, Oracle, Google, right? All these brand names that you know, these great companies. And so what do you notice about all those companies? And the response was always, wow, they're really leaders in their industry. They're at the top of their field. I said, yeah, that's exactly why we're doing well, because those great companies understand you invest in people no matter what. And it's especially critical to do so during a downturn and when things are difficult. Because when the economy picks back up, if you haven't been investing in your people and their life has been miserable and you've been operating under this mindset of, oh, well, they're never going to go anywhere because the economy's tough and they can't find another job, so we got them and we don't have to invest in them. Well, guess what? The first opportunity they get to jump ship, they're jumping. Now, the great companies are the ones who understand this and say, we're going to constantly invest in our people and turn that into a competitive advantage, and our people are going to want to stay with us all the time. And even when the economy turns, wow, you've continued investing in them, and they have great skills, and as that economy booms, they can really start putting those skills into play. So for me, that's what differentiates. There are people who say, oh, our people are the most important resource, and then there are people who actually live it. And that's the differentiator.
Got it. So, Mike, do you have any events coming up that our community might be able to attend? And what's the best way for folks to get a hold of you? I mean, obviously, you have a website. Is that the best vehicle?
Yeah, so the website is great, and folks can go to thoughtleadersllc.com. And that talks all about our instructors and the courses that we offer. It has our client listing, testimonials, and some videos. So a lot of resources on there. In terms of events, I am really excited about something that we're putting together this coming November, and it's called Executive Insight 16. We're holding it at the Waldorf Astoria in New York City, so it's just an amazing venue. And we've got 2 days of content on November 10th and 11th. And it's myself and a dozen of my instructors, and we're going to be putting on 13 keynote sessions where we're talking about leadership, communications, problem-solving, strategy, decision-making. It's just this awesome slate of content that we've put together. And we set it up so there's no vendors there, so you don't have to worry about getting assaulted by people on the break throwing business cards at you and trying to drum up business. We've made this all about learning. So you can come to it, get away for a couple of days, and really invest in yourself. Get to network with other great executives from great companies. So we're going to have a lot of folks from our client organizations and hopefully a bunch of new faces that we haven't gotten to meet before. So if folks want to learn about that program, they can go to executiveinsight1616.com. And would love to have folks in attendance at that too.
This is the Waldorf. This is in my backyard.
Yeah, this is, you know, tri-state area. So NYDLA, you know, I know you've got a lot of folks in the tri-state, and they can just pop on down to the Waldorf, hang out with us for a couple days. We've got some great meals set up, some great speakers. We're giving away, we're including copies of our books with the admission fee, so they'll have some great reading material coming out of it. Yeah, we're excited.
Oh, I'm going to get this on page one of our websites, so we'll promote this for you aggressively. Trust me. This is great.
That'd be great.
Well, Mike, I really enjoyed this. You've got a background that is quite eclectic, and you know, not very many people have the storied past that you have. So I'm really excited, and I'll definitely be attending. I'll be coming to the Waldorf in November for sure. So
that'll be great.
Yep. Mike, I thank you for your time. And ladies and gentlemen, this was another episode of Coffee in the Clouds. Take care.